You're listening to Global Roots Radio here on 90.1 FM. And on the phone, we have Dr. Sophia Khan, the founder and one of the board members of KC for Refugees here in Kansas City, on the phone with us to update us a little bit about what's going on with the organization and in the Kansas City area. Dr. Khan, welcome to Global Roots Radio. You're on the air with our listeners.
Thank you for having me.
Greatly appreciate your time on this Sunday afternoon. And I know recently KC for Refugees had their quarterly meeting here in Kansas City. So can you tell us some updates about what's going on with the organization and maybe some of the happenings at the quarterly meeting?
Great. We were very excited to have a full house and more than that this time. We had a lot of people show up from different organization, individuals who wanted to learn. The way we have the format for this meeting is it's open to public, so mostly it's people who come to learn about our organization. So every time we have brand new people show up, so it was very exciting. Things are very different now. You know, organization-wise, we were trying to focus quite a bit on the new coming families, and, you know, there were always gaps in care where we filled in, going to the airport to receive them, setting up their homes before they arrived, bringing in the extra furniture pieces they needed or household items and clothing for the kid, jackets and stuff. With the travel ban again in place until we hear anything different, we're not sure if we're going to be receiving any more refugee families in Kansas City. So we have to kind of change our format of what we've been doing. We are going to now focus more on families that are already here and try to find where we can make a difference in helping them settle in the community, obviously, because they're coming to a brand new culture. They're still trying to learn the language. Some are still trying to find jobs. Some have ongoing health care issues. That's where our focus is going to be, and helping the families that have already settled here. And, you know, we have hundreds and hundreds of families over more than a decade that have come here and still have off and on issues that the community can support them with.
Are you aware of any families or any individuals who had essentially legal proceedings to enter the country but were kept from coming to Kansas City?
I'm sure we'll start finding out about that soon. We know our last family with Della Lam arrived this Friday, and we were at the airport. We have posted the picture on our Facebook page to receive the arrival. They had a Somali family with many kids. So we are going to follow up with that family and check out how they're doing. It's hard to know at this point how many families, because agencies don't find out till 2 to 3 days before their arrival. So if there were families that they knew were supposed to come and then they don't show up, they don't find out until they go to the airport and the family never shows up. So 16th is the last date, right, when it becomes in effect. Then they'll have to actually go to the airport, and that's when we will find out which families are actually not going to come that were supposed to come.
Yeah, and for some of our listeners who are not familiar, what are the most recent changes that do affect the incoming families to the Kansas City area under any refugee or immigration status?
So, yeah, because of the travel ban to the six Muslim-majority countries, they don't want anyone to come from those countries. Also, there's a travel ban in general to all refugees for 120 days. So we're not going to see any refugee family come if the travel ban stays in place. I know there are some lawyers still, again, trying to block it. And for now, to assume that it's going to stay in place, there will be no refugees coming to Kansas City. We have also heard, which is something that is still to be approved by Congress, is to make it a state-by-state program instead of the federal program it used to be. And how that's going to obviously affect us locally is, for those who follow the politics, know that a couple of years ago, Sam Brownback, the governor of Kansas, had said that he wasn't going to let any Syrian refugees come to the state of Kansas. But he wasn't able to make any difference in the refugee settlement process, and refugees still came and settled because he didn't have a say in it. It wasn't a state-controlled program. It was a federally controlled program. So we still continued with bringing refugees in, including the Syrian refugees, into the state of Kansas. And if this does end up becoming a state-controlled program, then many states can just simply refuse that they're not going to have any refugee settlement in their states. So far, we were very proud to be one of the most welcoming city in the country to refugees. And that's, I know how the community feels. The community is ready to help these refugees. And this is across the spectrum of bipartisan support for the refugees that we have noticed as an organization for these refugee families. So unfortunately, if this does get approved and it becomes a state-controlled program, then we might totally lose the settlement of refugees in the greater Kansas City area.
So at this point, it sounds like something to follow up on as changes are happening. There seems to be a sense of sort of not knowing what's next with
the Yes, there are a lot of changes. And unfortunately, there's one other aspect to this thing. Imagine to have an organization that is settling refugees, including JVS's refugee settlement program, because these organizations have multiple programs that they do, and I'm just talking about the part of their program that was the refugee settlement program for JVS, Della Lamb, and Catholic Charities. They are run by money coming in by the constant influx of refugees. That's how they pay their bills. That's how they pay the salaries of their employees and their rent and utilities and other things associated with the program. If they have no money coming in for 4 months, these organizations are going to crash. The refugee settlement programs are going not to be able to sustain their employees, and they will shut down. And so do we really think that at the end of 4 months, the 120-day period, are they going to reapply for refugee settlement? Are they going to find employees again? Will they even be able to continue this program that they were doing in our cities? So this is something uncharted waters. We've never done anything like this before, to shut the refugee program for a prolonged period, and in turn putting so much financial burdens on these organizations that I know they have already laid off their employees. So think about the refugees that were coming up until, all will come up until the day of the 16th. How are they going to sustain the programs for them if they don't even have the money to continue the employees? I was talking to the director of Della Lamb the other day, and they said that just to say, maintain the program till September, they need $128,000. And with no money coming in, how are they even going to sustain these programs? That is one of my biggest fears, as to what are we going to do with the families that are already here, let alone being sad about not being able to bring more families in. How are we going to support the families that have arrived here? And they, I mean, their lifeline are these agencies, because they are doing the essentials in the beginning to getting them their services, teaching them their finances, how to go about in the city, getting them jobs, you know, getting the kids established in school, the ESL. I mean, you go on and on and on. There's a long checklist of required services that they provide, and they provide them through their employees, right? So this is like this is the biggest dilemma right now, is that these agencies might not be able to sustain themselves.
Right. Are there any talks of upcoming fundraisers to support in the interim where support can be found financially?
So we do encourage people to directly go to the website of these agencies. And if they have a company match, to make sure that their companies are aware that they're donating to these agencies. And then to sign up. When they sign up, I do recommend that on the memo, or somewhere on their donation, they mention that their donation is for the refugee settlement program. Because usually the money for these agencies goes directly into a pool, and then they decide where the money is going to go. But when we make donations, like we did the GoFundMe, or we have other organizations do fundraisers for refugees, and we send the checks to these agencies, we are told that please on the memo write down it's for the refugee settlement program, so you know that your funds went to the refugee settlement program to support it. The dollar amount is quite large, I know, so it'll take a lot of donations. But, you know, think about it. If someone is donating $10, but there's thousands of us donating $10, you know, it's going to become $10,000.
Right.
And so even small amount of regular donations will be very beneficial at this time.
And before letting you go, can people find more information about this?
They can go directly to the websites of these agencies, and there's always a donate button. If they want to donate through us, they can just contact us on kcforrefugees@gmail.com, and I can guide them. We are in the process of filing our paperwork for a nonprofit. Initially, we thought we did not want to be a nonprofit. But here, you know, there's so much more that we can do as a volunteer support group, and people have to remember that KC for Refugee is 100% volunteer-run, a community support platform. We are not employed by any of these agencies. We are independent. And so far, 100% of our donations given to us go to the refugees directly. We have bought cars for them, laptops. Sometimes they didn't have money to pay their rent, and we just went and wrote them a rent check. So because all of the volunteers that are part of the board of KC for Refugees are fully employed individuals who have no financial interest in this program, we have been able to literally provide quite a bit of support to the refugees. And so they can either donate directly to us, or and then we can spread the money to whichever family is in the most need, or they can give directly to the agencies to run their program. They can pick and choose. That's why I love this fact that people have an option. They get to pick on their own where their heart feels the most, right? So that's why I love giving them options that go to the websites, give them directly, or if you don't want to pick and choose, if you want to individually help families, then we can either connect you with them or we can help get those funds to the programs. But like I said, we're in the process of getting our own nonprofit, and then that'll make things even easier to get it directly to the most vulnerable families and to the specific needs of the family. So there are many ways people can contribute, and if they have any further questions, they can either go to our Facebook page and look through the options we put in there, or email us, and we will directly work one-to-one with the donors.
Dr. Sophia Khan, thank you so much for updating us, and I'll give the website information later on during the show as well.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Dr. Sophia Khan, one of the founders, the founder of KC for Refugees, and we'll give you more information about their website, but you can find them, KC for Refugees, here in Kansas City, on the web.